Welcome to the Something Extra podcast, where we explore the heart behind great leadership. I'm Lisa Nichols, your host and the CEO of Technology Partners. Last year brought so many meaningful conversations. We talked with Jay Chung about redefining success and service. Yvonne Carlson shared how to lead teams with clarity in seasons of change. And the Commerce Bank team reminded us what it looks like to build trust in every interaction. Today, we're excited to bring you part one of our Best of 2025. These moments capture wisdom, humility, and the something extra that sets remarkable leaders apart. Let's dive in. In our first clip, Jay Chung, a partner at Bespoke Compass, shares a powerful message on how to surrender fear, shame, and guilt to find restoration in God's unconditional love.
Talk about that a little bit more, Jay, because there may be people that are listening that are burned out. They don't recognize, sometimes even admitting it to yourself, right, can be hard because you just keep going every day, you know, just keep doing and pushing. What would you say to that person that kind of has some angst in their spirit and just know that there's something not right? What would you say to them?
If that person was sitting right in front of me, I would say, hey, brother, hey, sister, I've been there where fear, shame, and guilt is literally eating my soul into pieces, ripping it apart. But will you surrender that fear, shame, and guilt to God who loves you completely? Only when you invite this God into your heart completely will you be able to overcome those fear, shame, and guilt that will constantly drive you to destruction, really. You know, enemy comes to destroy us, right? And he's not dumb. And so he's going to use all kinds of tactics. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at you. You call yourself pastor. You call yourself this and that. You're no good. You're already tainted. You're never going to be loved by God. So as long as we live, we buy into that lie, we're never going to get up. You know, woe is me is going to be basically the last verse you're going to sing. But that's not what Christ did for us on the cross. You know, he defeated that. And so I would say it's normal, it's human to feel defeated by fear, shame, and guilt. But it is also God's will for you to hold on to the hand of God that'll rescue you from that lie and restore you to be the child of God that is forever loved without any condition, mm-hmm. completely loved. And your value is in the eyes of God, mm-hmm. estimated by God. So, yeah, so that's what happened. For 3-4 months, I would pray and God would remind me again. But and know this, sometimes it takes more than one reminder, you know, to really convince your heart. It's repeated bombardment of God's love in my heart that changed me. It wasn't my willpower. I don't think it was even me trying to be smart about it. There's no analysis that's going to get you out of that slump, that place of darkness. Mm-hmm. Only God's light, only God's hand, mercy, grace is going to save you. So cry out to that. It may take time.
In this next clip, Yvonne Carlson, Chief Technology Officer at Global Media Outreach, shares how her Christian faith provides a worldview rooted in kindness, humility, and a belief in infinite possibilities, helping her stay level-headed and calm under pressure.
So this is one that I really want you to dig into. Over and over, people describe you as having an unparalleled positive attitude, a joyful presence about you. Are these your superpowers? And where does this come from?
I don't know if I would say superpower, but I would say outlook. But that is really rooted in my worldview. So as a Christian, as a believer, it's really important for me to show up in the workplace in a way that reflects my faith. So, you know, being kind, being considerate. I think positivity is part of that, in that you choose to believe the best in other people. And I think, and this is a challenge in tech because tech is usually, well, I'll say it, the scapegoat, right? You find
Yes.
yourself in those
Blame
awkward
it on the tech.
conversations, right? And
Yes.
giving people the benefit of the doubt and going to work every day believing in infinite possibilities. And I think as a Christian, I think God of God and how he's an infinite God, right? He's endless, he's boundless. He's the source of my creativity and who I am. So I want to bring that into the places and the spaces that I occupy. And, am I perfect 100% of the time? Absolutely not. But what is good about that outlook is that I have a place to go back to. And then I think that hopefully, at the end of the day, it's that humility and that retrospection that we should all be doing, which links into obviously empathy. It's going for full circle because it's not if you'll go through challenges or bumps in the road,
It's when.
it's when and how do you negotiate them? That's big to me. I think that's an important piece of being a technology leader.
No, I could not agree more. Somebody said to me a couple of weeks ago, he said there's, and this in the dictionary or not, but he said it's the respondability, how you respond to those things, right? And the way you just describe yourself, I mean, you try to, when things don't go right, or when a system fails, or an experiment that you're doing, we talk about fail fast. You want to fail fast in tech. But when that doesn't go right, how do you show up? Are you, as somebody else had said, I want to hear this one. I want to hear your perspective on this one. And it probably goes back to the kind of the same thing, Yvonne. People said that you stay calm under pressure, and as I've already said, IT, there are things that go wrong. You're sometimes pushing up against deadlines and budget constraints, So how do you stay calm under pressure? Do you have a secret sauce for this?
Well, part of it is upbringing. My dad worked in the defense industry. He worked on very secretive projects, and there's a lot of what he did. I have no idea.
Right.
But one
Black
thing I
box.
always knew about my dad is that he was level-headed, and my uncles too. I was really close to one uncle who was also a software engineer, and they approach things, it's back to that curiosity. Like, I'm not going to expect that I understand the full situation. I'm going to expect that I have a fraction of the information that I need in order to understand this, really understand this. And of course, that leans into good problem solving. So I think it was modeled for me. But then again, I think it's back to that, based on my worldview, it's working out of the idea of abundance instead of scarcity, right? So we're in this very performance-oriented world, and I'm not saying that I don't want to compete and, show up well in that way, but I think it's important to consider that it's not just about winning, it's the manner in which you go about it. So for me, I think that it is related. I think that's interconnected.
Free consultation with one of our leaders.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with Susan. So, ladies, we've talked about this a little bit, but you guys have just built such an amazing culture at Commerce. And I think, as we've just seen from what you guys talked about with your women in leadership, it is intentional. You're very intentional in how you have built this culture. So, well, I know EDGE is the program. Is that an acronym for something? No, it's
No,
just, yeah. Tell us more about it, Beth.
it is our edge. It is, let me think of how to describe it. So we have been asked it before. Is it an acronym for something? And it's not. It is a consistent program that we launched internally with. We actually partnered with an external consulting firm, Sendelini at the time. Now they're Heidrick & Struggles. They have a set core of kind of culture concepts that they will put you through and put leadership team through. So it starts with the top, works its way down through the organization. And because they do believe culture is leader led and sustained by all. And so we put all leaders through this. It's a common language of concepts that we use, and we have woven that into everything that we do, going on 15 years now. But the base and the foundation of that is our purpose, our core values, and our guiding behaviors. So it's all a common language that we put in everything that our team members do. So from onboarding to recruitment to development to sustainability, it's all there through the whole life cycle.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I mean, commerce is huge. I mean, you guys, I think, have what, 32 billion in assets. You've got close to 5,000 employees. I mean, that's hard, right? To infiltrate culture that way. But what you just described to me, Beth, is it's the common thread through onboarding and everything. So can you guys, one of you, I don't know, Becky or Susan, kind of describe to me, because I know when I've talked to you guys in the past, like, you know, you've got the master, you know, you get the master culture champions, and then you've got those people have champions underneath them. Can somebody kind of explain the logistics of that to me?
Absolutely. So it's our culture network, really, is what it is. And I'll start by saying, you know, when I first started at Commerce, being part of talent development, I got to attend a culture offsite, a culture retreat for our master champs and our super champs. I was not yet in that role, but I got to attend. And one of the things that struck me, Lisa, is, oh my goodness, they let us spend 8 hours today working and talking about culture. And that's when I knew this was the real deal, that Commerce understands that we take care of people. We focus on our culture, and that impacts, obviously, the team member experience. It impacts the customer experience. They can feel it, and it leads to business outcomes. I mean, that is what makes us different. So I'll kind of start from the top as a master champ. Actually, even above that, we have an EMC, so an executive management team member who kind of rotates over the years, who is playing in that role. So it's not the same person every year. They might hold that role for a couple of years, and then when it's time, they'll pass the torch to someone else to be the culture carrier for the organization. But below that, there are master champs. And this master champ role is in addition to someone's day job. So each master champ supports an executive leader. And then underneath the master champs, we have our super champs. And so these are the people who are kind of the arms and legs, you know, into the organization to really make sure that the culture is aligned, to really support a leader within a line of business, within a specific area of the bank, because we know that, you know, there is an overall commerce culture, but there are going to be some specific needs of certain departments. And so that super champ is going to be working with that leader to say, what matters most to you? How do your team members like to experience culture? And they listen and learn, and they're a partner in making that happen. So I currently play the role of master champ in talent management. And then I have a team of super champs who I work with to really spread the word and to be the culture carriers to bring that into the lives of everyone at Commerce. And Susan got to play that role too in her Commerce career. Susan, were you a master champ and a super champ at one point?
Yes, I was a super champ first, and then got to be a master champ on the commercial side for almost 3 years. So. And what a great 3 years. So it's hard to pass the baton, but you know, it's all part of the program.
In this clip, Axia Women's Health CIO, Pallavi Shunduk, shares the core leadership philosophy that she lives by: be first, best, or different, emphasizing the importance of bringing her best self to every new and often challenging experience.
What do you believe are some of those leadership philosophies that have really helped you be successful? Because you're very successful.
Oh, I'm still learning, still trying, but thank you for that. So my principles, I think they're leadership principles, but they're also life principles. I mentioned one, which was to be first, best, or different. it's not my, it's, I learned it from a leader that I came across as soon as I moved to St. Louis. I admire him even today. I follow him, and he said this, and it stuck with me because it resonated with my own journey. And then, and also the fact that every time in your leadership journey, there's always going to be a first. You're always with me. I've always been either the first woman or the first engineer or the first Indian executive or the first, right? And so how do I bring my best into every first? How do I continue to, yes, I'm different. So I know that it's going to come with a lot of courage I have to show, but I also have to bring everyone along on that journey with me. And continue to be the best in every role that I have been. So that's one of my principles, is to be first, best, or different, right? Even at Siemens, when I was a hardcore electrical engineer on the factory floor, they had not worked with a woman before, a woman engineer before. So not only was I their boss, but I also was a gender. They didn't know, they didn't know how to work with a woman. Mm-hmm. I remember that even the dress code was all male centric, and they had to revise the dress code when I started there. So again, so many firsts, but then it wasn't easy. It was bumpy, but then mm-hmm. once we were able to build trust with each other, then I learned so much from them, because the folks that actually work with the machines are the ones that truly teach you so much. They know the process, they know the shop floors, they know the machines. So I'm still in touch with so many of my colleagues, and I learned so much, but it was a hard start in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like my Bollywood journey, I was the first to be starting a dance company, I was on Fox one time, when Slumdog Millionaire became a big success, they wanted to show that as well. And so it was the first time a Bollywood dancer had been on local TV here. So I had to then think about, how do I translate Bollywood to St. Louis and the St. Louis audience. So, but it was, I worked hard. We became the best school that we had in town. We became a big company,
mm-hmm.
And so on. So
the
I can
first, the best. Always, I love it. I just love it.
Be first, best, or different. And then another philosophy principle is reward is the journey. For me, it's never been about the destination, never been about the finish line, if you would, but it's always been the thrill of being part of the race. Every connection, every friendship, every experience has been a gift. So no matter what role I have been in, I want to savor every moment of the role, give my best, and not really think about what's the end game here, and
mm-hmm.
you know, just focus on the journey, and that's the true reward. So
right.
To me, I think those are some of the principles I live by. There are a few others, but those might be the common theme of my leadership journey.
In April, I got to sit down with Dave Peacock, CEO of Advantage Solutions. In this clip, he defines his aspirational leadership style using the acronym POPPY, which stands for Pause, Awareness, Patience, and Intentionality.
What would you say, Dave? I mean, I could put words in your mouth, but I want to hear it from you. I think I know, but like, what would you say your leadership style is?
Well, I have the leadership style I aspire to. And so,
okay.
And you can appreciate this more than anybody. I'm in a couple of Bible studies outside of even CAO Forum. And I always say the best leadership book in the world is the Bible. Just read it. And even for those who have a different belief system, and you just look at it as stories, there is no better leadership book. And you know, Ecclesiastes is a great example of that. But we do a word every year that we work on. And a good friend of mine started using acronyms because it's cheating. And so my word for this year, I think it really does wrap up kind of how I want to lead. As I've been in this role 2 years, I was much more thoughtful around it. And it's poppy. And there was, well, that's a weird word, right? It's a Spanish word for father. But it also is an acronym with pause, awareness, patience, and intentionality. And so many times we don't, and I find this all the time, you're just so busy in the action in the moment. Sometimes you just, when things are going on, you need to take a pause, make sure you're really aware of and coming from curious around what's going on. Why is this happening? Why is this person doing this? Or why is this situation occurring? Be patient sometimes as far as how you're going to respond, because sometimes it's letting things come to you and leveraging your faith a little bit that, you know, things can in ways work out, but also being intentional when you take action and convicted around it. So that is something I've been thinking about quite a bit this year as far as how I want to lead. But, you know, if I had to boil it down to one word, I'd say it's intentionality. And that's trying to live every day and lead with intention. As far as, I mean, I pray briefly before meetings. I do things to be really intentional in the moment as much as possible. Because I think people deserve that.
Our next clip features Matt Granados, CEO and founder of LifePulse, and his wife, Maria, executive director and founder of the Take Part Foundation, detailing their commitment to intentionality through a monthly life date philosophy.
So how do you keep your marriage strong?
Just good life.
As you are co-laboring together, right? And you're working together on these initiatives. We get asked that question a lot. So I'm going to ask you to, how do you do that? How do you manage?
Well, we've done it wrong and we've done it right. So it's a constant learning. Now, like, we haven't been in the married game. We'll be coming up on 10 years, I think. And, It's been a journey, but for us, like Matt mentioned, it's the intentionality. We had something cheesy that we did since we were dating called Life Date. And so every month we knew we had this fun date coming up, and we made ourselves make a reservation, even if it wasn't a fancy restaurant for that month. We made ourselves buy each other a little gift, you know, and sometimes it was like a $5 gift. One time it was a car, right? Like, we've done crazy stuff, but like, we wrote a card like by hand, and every time we get asked by the waiter or waitress, like, what are you celebrating? And we're like, just life. But at that dinner, we weren't allowed to solve any problems for each other. We weren't allowed to do, but we were just allowed to hear each other out and see how we're doing across the board, you know, and just have really good, fruitful conversation. And I know that sounds silly to some people to kind of be so scheduled out like that, but it actually was like very relieving to someone like us who has so much like going on. Like, you understand when you're running a business and you have kids, it starts to get kind of overwhelming, but gave us something to look forward to. And then knowing that there would be a gift, you know, that I have to get that month, it made me think about Matt when I was out and about, or I was browsing my phone, or like, you know, what can I do to think of him and to honor him? So being really intentional about our relationship, our dating life, no matter what.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of, at first it was like, you know, okay, but it became a norm for us, so much so that when like the couple months, like I think even during COVID, we had to get creative, like, you know, because we had our kids home, all this kind of stuff. Do we have a date night in? We'll order in. We'll make sure the kids are asleep. We want to have a full blown date though. Like, so I think it's just that idea of we are so intentional about work. We're so intentional about fitness. We're so intentional about all these other things that we ought to give the intention to the most important relationship in our life.
I think the other structure that we put, if you haven't learned by yet now, we experience stuff, we build a structure, we test it against our family to make sure it works, then we offer it to our clients. But we call this the structure of success, and it's daily action, weekly planning, monthly review, quarterly reset, annual retreat. So we do that in our business, but we also do it in our marriage. So what Maria talked about was our monthly review. That's our life plan, or our life date. But every single year we do an annual retreat.
Yeah.
Two of us get together and we go and plan out our year, make sure we're on the same page. Every quarter we reset our goals, both professionally and personally. Every month we meet for that life date. Every week we actually plan our weeks out together, right? Yeah. She uses her planner. I use my planner. We come together. And then every single day we have to make the intentional action of her knowing that I love her and me knowing that she loves me.
Our final clip of part one features Dr. Kendall Brunet and Dr. Ryan Rogers sharing key leadership lessons related to humility, managing expectations, and surrounding yourself with smart people.
Well, Kendall, let me ask you this one. What surprised you the most about being a leader?
People expect you to have all the answers.
But you're Obi-Wan Kenobi.
I know. Yeah. I think really just humility is trying to have that humility and lead by example. You know, so you've got to really, you know, show that, hey, I grew up in the same way you did. Mm-hmm. At least I do. I don't like to have be on a high horse, so to speak. And just really kind of, and I'm from the service industry. So, you know, from healthcare, I don't want to, they always call it the white coat issue and come in, the doctor's got a white coat and all of a sudden patients are like, oh, you got to give me the answers. I don't, I'm investigating. I'm a scientist. So I'm just trying to figure out what's going on, you know? Yeah, and so, true. You know, for us, I always just kind of say, well, yes, I have a lot of experience. You know, I've had a lot of water under this bridge. So maybe I can share some of that. But I kind of do it not as a dictatorial. It's just sharing. You know, when we did this, this is what happened. Is it going to work when I apply it? Let's measure it. And that's kind of where we're always ticking and tacking, you know, kind of like sailing. We're always kind of going back and forth, making adjustments. That's for me. My style has been very successful.
Mm-hmm. I would say that is the truth. What about Dr. Rogers? I'll ask you this one. Is there a piece of leadership advice? It could even be from Obi-Wan over here that you have received over the years that, you know, you carry with you. Piece of leadership advice.
Perseverance. Perseverance along with, you know, if you don't know the answer, find it. Like, search for it. Surround yourself with individuals who are smarter than you, and who are going places that you want to be and you want to eventually obtain.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.